libertarian, or conservative? How about a take on government that's just chock full of common sense? Kristen B. Tate gives her take exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. The Wall Street Journal yesterday had a very interesting op-ed that the editorial board authored as Kristen B. Tate rejoins us here at Kevin McCullough. And Kristen, the title of it is The Cost of School Shutdowns, a new McKinsey study documenting the severe student learning loss that took place in schools during the lockdown. Here's the top headline. Shutting down schools was among the most destructive policies of the pandemic. The consulting firm of McKinsey and Company examined spring 2021 test results for 1.6 million students in grades 1 through 6. They compared them to performance of similar students pre-pandemic. They discovered that the pandemic-era kids were on average about 4 months behind in reading, about 5 months behind in math, and they called the outlook very bleak. The study doesn't say, but teachers' unions were the main architects of this calamity. By first refusing to return to the classroom, says the Wall Street Journal editorial board, and insisting on watered-down schedules. The data company Burbio found that by the end of the spring semester, most students could attend school at least part-time, but due to union demands, the return sometimes amounted to a few days or hours in person of learning per week and not nearly what they needed. Kristen, as you know, the CDC has changed its guidance in the last 36 hours, and everyone's talking about, maybe moving towards the masked existence again. I think a lot of parents have anxiety about any future possibility of shutdowns or such means or measures being taken.
Everyone who can should get their kids out of these government schools. It's an absolute disgrace, Kevin, especially when you consider that before these lockdowns, our public schools were already failing many students. Only one third of eighth graders were proficient in math in this country before the lockdowns, and some urban areas are even worse. I mean, in Detroit, only 5% of their eighth graders were proficient in math. So they were already doing poorly. And then you moved all these kids to this failing online learning through Zoom. And of course, it's a recipe for disaster. Our students are being failed, and it's because of these teachers' unions. And we now know exactly why this happened. It was never because of health. It was because the teachers don't want to go back to work. I mean, at this point, anyone can get the vaccine. There's absolutely no reason that anyone should be forced to have their kids stay with this despicable and failing learning online. And it's also just as bad, Kevin, to make kids go back to school fall with masks on their face for a whole year. These young kids. I mean, again, the teachers, if they're so worried about COVID, they can go get a vaccine. It's just really awful, and this is why people are fleeing the public schools at record rates. And once again, as with many of these left-wing policies, it's going to be the most vulnerable and the poorest families who are hurt most by this. You know, the people who can't afford private schools or who have working parents in the house who can't homeschool. And those are the kids who are going to be left in these failed classrooms in the public schools.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be interesting because Randy Weingarten, the head of the largest teachers union, just said yesterday she can't guarantee that her union's going to approve opening schools on time in the fall. And, you know, talk about tyranny. You know, these are people that are paid by our state tax dollars and should be required to show up on the job. Just really remarkable in terms of how bold they are being about some of these things. Let me ask you, let me shift gears a little bit, because I know that you love to talk dollars and cents, and I've got to get your take on the $1 trillion infrastructure deal that a bunch of Republicans seem to have signed off on, though they're not necessarily sure what's in it. It seems kind of Pelosian to me, not very Republican. What's your take on it?
Once again, this is just showing us how much of a failure our Republicans in Washington, D.C. are. I don't think there's anyone left in Washington, D.C., maybe with a few exceptions, who really care about the fiscal responsibility that they should care about, that their voters put them in office to care about. The left has moved the goalpost so far now that Republicans are calling it, you know, some sort of compromise. It's a shame. It's going to bankrupt our country for generations to come. And this is why I think so many people are pulling out of the U.S. dollar and putting their money into cryptocurrencies or even, you know, precious metals. We're going to see more of that. And by the way, I also think real estate is going to continue to soar. People think we're in a bubble right now. Well, I actually think these prices are going to hold, and they might go up even more as people pull their money out of the market and out of the dollar and put it into real estate. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. But this is all really, really terrifying. And we have no way to pay for this. We're just printing the money and borrowing it indefinitely.
Yeah. And the more we print, the less valuable it is. That's the way it works. Let me shift gears one more time. You've got a big piece coming up for The Hill this weekend. And it has to do with cancel culture, and it has to do with big tech. Talk to me about what you're finding.
Yeah, it's actually a lot bigger and more insidious than just cancel culture. So in countries like China, they have what's called a social credit system, which is where the government keeps track of your actions and your beliefs and then uses that data to control what you're allowed to do in society, what purchases you're allowed to make, what credit cards you're allowed to get, you know, how you're allowed to do banking, who you're allowed to associate with. And what we're seeing here in the United States, Kevin, is companies like PayPal and Facebook and even credit card and banking institutions now saying that they will refuse to do business with or give platforms to people who engage in quote unquote extremist behavior. Well, what is extremist? That's a very, you know, subjective word, right? Where the definition can change over time. And I think, you know, it's going to start with more fringy people getting blocked out of these platforms, but soon could come for even more mainstream conservatives. We could end up in a situation where anyone who does not hold the correct political views is essentially ousted from polite society, not allowed to do banking, not allowed to get loans, not allowed to have a presence on these online sites. It's really terrifying, and this is something that people should keep their eye on, because we could have a social credit system here not being pushed by the government, but actually big tech that's working hand in hand with the left wingers and the government.
Yeah. And that is true fascism. When you have private big business industry and government in lockstep conspiring against the public, that is true control of the social order. And that's not what we're in favor of. Anyway, read her piece coming up Sunday in The Hill. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Kristen, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Kev.
All right. Kevin McCullough, when we come back, Thaddeus McCotter, congressman from Michigan, with an update on some things related to that state. Don't go away.